We're doing in Yaakov. We had learned last time. We're on page Lamed Gimel. At the end of the seventh chapter, there's very little in Yaakov on the seventh chapter of Shabbos. We're at the bottom of Lamed Gimel. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi had taught us in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, in the name of Bar Kafra, that if a person knows how to calculate the constellations and the zodiac and he doesn't do it, about that the verse says, they are people who don't pay attention to the wondrous things Hashem does. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. We have a quote from Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani in the name of Rabbi Yonatan. Minayin shemitzvah l'adam lechashev tekufot u'mazalot. How do we know that there's a mitzvah to calculate the cycle of the stars and to figure out the cycle of the zodiac? Shenemar, as the verse says, u'shmartem v'asitem, be careful, perform. This is your wisdom and your understanding that the nations observe. We have wisdom and understanding in many areas. The Torah teaches us many areas of wisdom and understanding. But what area of wisdom and understanding do we have that is available for the nations to observe? That's the mathematics that we had on tradition, that for the last 2-3 millennium we've been calculating the cycle of the moon and the sun and the stars, and we have it down to science, and that's something which no one else had for the last 2 millennium. Now NASA's caught up, but until the last half a century, no one else had the calculations down to the science that we had them. So that's the wisdom that the nations can observe. We're up to the 8th chapter now. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Kol ma shebara kadosh baruch hu ba'olamo, whatever God created in his world, lo bara davar echad lebatala. Hashem did not create a single thing for naught. And that's something which science is learning. There used to be a time when they said, you don't need your tonsils. They couldn't figure out why you have tonsils. Today they figured it out. Yeah.
What about witchcraft and occultism? Was that also not created?
Again, nothing was created for naught. Anything that was created has a purpose. There's nothing extra in the world. Yeah?
But the ability to do witchcraft and necro, bringing up people, how would that fit in?
Let's hear out the Gemara, okay? Bara Shablul, Hashem created a Shablul, which is some kind of worm. I'm not sure exactly what it is. It's like a slug, because the verse says in Job, in Eov, Kmo Shablul Temes Yaloch, just as the Shablul, as it moves, it leaves slime behind. Kmo Shablul, like this creature Shablul, Temes Yaloch, that as it moves, it leaves slime. So that's some kind of slug. Bara Shablul, why did Hashem create the Shablul? Lechatit. For the Katit. I don't remember if the Katit eats. No, I'm sorry. Katit is a type of wound. It says that there are types of wound that if you put the slug on them...
Leeches.
No, they
have that in India.
Again?
Leeches suck the bad blood out.
Bad blood of a wound. Of a poison wound.
There were types of... Katit is a... Katit is a type of wound that has pus. Exactly which type of wound, I don't know. But there were wounds where they knew in their days that if you put this type of slug on it, it would cure it. So Hashem created this slug as a cure for the katit. Bara zvuv, Hashem created a type of fly called a zvuv. Letzirah, if someone was stung by a tzirah, which might be, I don't know if it's a hornet or a wasp, so it says if you take a zvuv, which might be the regular fly, the garbage fly, in modern Hebrew it is, I don't know, in ancient times what it was, if you mash one up and you put it on the sting, so it cures it. It sounds funny, but Our medication, heart medication, is made from the venom of snakes, because snake's venom slows the heart and kills the person, right? But if you take it the right way, it can slow a person's heartbeat the way it should be. So the things Hashem created, you have the Gemara says, why do we have these flies? I don't know if it's a fruit fly, I don't know if it's a garbage fly. I'm not sure which type of fly a zvuv is, but if you mash it and put it on a sting, so then it cures the sting of the tzira. Yetush, why did Hashem create the yetush, which might be a mosquito? In modern Hebrew, it's a mosquito. Lenachash, it can cure a snake bite. Guys, if you're into alternative medicine, maybe you should check it out. If this, no, don't go get bitten by snakes, but...
good idea.
Okay. So what I was saying is that sometimes when you check out a cure, and today much of the investment in developing medicine, they send to all kinds of villages in India and Africa, and they try to find out what they use to cure different things. Then they analyze scientifically why does that work, and then through that they can sometimes discover new medication, turn it into a science. So it might pay to check this stuff out. Our general assumption is that we do not know how to use the medicines of the Talmud. We don't even know what a yetush is. In modern Hebrew, it's a mosquito. Is that what they were talking about? I don't know. And it's you also have to know how to use each cure. When babies have jaundice, so the Yemenites have a type of grass that only grows by the sea, that if you bake it and you make a tea out of it, and the mother, if you cook it and make a tea out of it, and the mother drinks it, then the baby gets cured from jaundice. So this is a known thing. It's getting lost because there's only one family left that I know of that makes it. They travel once a year to the seaside, and they spend an afternoon collecting this grass, and then they give it free for mothers who need it. But I don't know of any scientist that's taken the time to actually explore why does this work. It's down to, I think, two or three people that have the tradition to know which grass a nursing mother can drink, and it cures the baby's jaundice. Vinachash lechafafit. A snake can be used to cure certain types of boils. Visamamit la'akrav. Samamit, I don't know what creature a samamit is. I don't know what a samamit is. But it can be used for a scorpion's bite.
Sting.
Sting, okay. It says, okay. Before we continue, the concept is important. There's a medrash that I never saw written, but there's a medrash that says that David HaMelech couldn't figure out why Hashem created the spider. Why do spiders weave webs? Weave webs, yes. And it says, this is the story, all the kids know this story. You guys know the story, right? He was running from King Saul. He went into a cave. King Saul was going to catch him. And Hashem sent a spider to weave the web over the entrance to the cave. And then King Saul came to that cave and said, I see the web. Obviously, David isn't in that cave. He would have had to tear this beautiful web in order to get in. And he didn't go into that cave. And that saved David the Melech. There is a medrash that we know of.
That's a big spider.
When there's a medrash that says that David HaMelech saw people who were insane and he couldn't figure out why Hashem created that. That's a medrash that's famous also, but that I've seen written. And says, we say it every Shabbos, that David b'shanato ta'amod ifnei Avimelech, that when David was before Avimelech, so Hashem allowed him to access insanity. And then Avimelech, he was captured by the Philistines, and in the prison he started being insane. And when the Philistines saw that, they let him go. They were sure he was, this isn't David. We see his behavior. And he was able to access that. So Hashem showed him there are times where you have to be able. The insanity is also a gift sometimes. So we have a medrash about Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo in the ant, when Shlomo got all his wisdom. So he met up with an ant, and and he didn't see the value in the ant. And the ant said to him, "Don't you mock me. There's a lot you could learn from me." And there's a whole medrash about the conversation of Shlomo and the ant. So this idea that nothing is created for naught is an important concept. There are stories about many rabbis who were sitting with students on the grass, and the students start staring out grass. And the rabbi looks at him and says, "What are you doing?" So he says, "What's wrong?" There's a story like this about Rav Tzvi Yehuda also, that a student was talking to him, and as he was talking, he was picking leaves off a bush. And he said, "How could you do that? What's wrong? What did I just do? There was a living leaf there. You just killed it. And what's wrong if I killed it? There's nothing wrong, but it has a purpose. To wastefully just destroy it, that's ignoring the fact that it has a purpose. We mow our lawns, yes. We don't say that grass has a purpose, right? We say, if my purpose is that the grass be mowed, it's going to be mowed. If I'm going to trim my trees, it's going to be trimmed. But if I am just
wantonly,
right, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just going to pull leaves off a tree. So that, why are you doing that? There is a purpose.
Someone says, "I felt like it." That's not really a reason.
When I grew up, if there'd be a bug in class, the Rebbe would take the time to put the bug on a paper and go over to the window and shake it out the window. And this taught us as children that you don't just kill a bug. Right? That's a life. That's a creature. It's God's creature. Rachamav al kol ma'asav. So that doesn't mean that if you have a problem of ants in your kitchen, on your kitchen counter, on your kitchen table, don't do anything. They're God's creatures. Yeah, I'm God's creature too. I have to eat kosher, and if they enter my food, I could end up eating them, and that's not kosher. So I better get rid of the ant problem.
Use the raid.
Whatever I'm going to use. But I, the flip side is, when I don't have to kill the ant, then
it's
right. So coming back to our Gemara. So the Gemara says, every creature has its purpose. How do you use a samamit for a scorpion sting? You take one black hamamit, you take one white samamit, you cook them till they're reduced to almost nothing, till they've been thoroughly cooked, and then you make them into a paste. And then you can smear that onto the sting, and that's how you cure the sting of a scorpion. So this is the only one that Gemara gives us the answer of how to use it. On the other ones, I guess everyone knew. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a famous quote over here. Chamisha emotin, emat chalash al gibo. There are five fears in the world where the weakling inspires fear in the powerful one. So the Gemara says, number one, emat mafgia alari. The Talmud says there's this creature called a mafgia that lets out a very loud roar, and even the lion gets scared when he hears its roar. I don't know what creature it is. I don't know what a mafgia is, but that's what the Gemara says. Eimat yetush alapil. The Talmud says that elephants are scared of mosquitoes, if a yetush is a mosquito, that mosquitoes can enter their... What's their nose called?
Trunks.
Their trunks, and they can really hurt them. So they get panicked over that. That scares the elephant.
And we always thought it was mice.
A matzah mamit alakrav. The Talmud says there's this creature that can destroy a scorpion, so the scorpion is scared of it. Again, that's our samamit. A matzinunit alanesher. Sinunit is sometimes a bird that can take down an eagle because he can hit the eagle under its wings and bring the eagle down. So even the eagle, who's soaring over every other bird, knows there's one bird called the sinunit who can take him down. Nochtschwolbe. Nochtschwolbe, do we know what that is?
Is it a bird?
I don't know. Okay, I don't know. What?
It's a kind of crow.
Kind of crow, okay. Emat kilbit aliviatan. It says that even a big fish, which might be a whale, right, there's this little...
Kilbit is like sea lion.
No. Kilbit is some kind of worm that once it attacks a whale, it kills it. It enters through its ear, and then it slowly eats away at a whale. So it's a type of worm.
Sea cucumber.
have no idea. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Me'ei Kra Hamavlik Shodalas. The verse says Hashem gives fear over even powerful ones. So even powerful things in the world, Hashem created something that takes them down. And that's an important concept in our lives also. Very often it's just a question of figuring out what can bring the powerful one down. Everyone has a weak point. There's nothing you stand against that doesn't have a weak point. Every city, every wall, every enemy, every competition, everyone has a weak point. If you can find it, you can take him down. And it can be as big as a whale and a little worm can take it down. It can be a nuclear plan and there could be a little virus, right? I'm saying that there are weak points. That idea that it doesn't matter how great one is, there's something that can take it down. The elephant can be taken down by some kind of mosquito. It's not a matter only of size. It's a matter of knowing where the other side's weakness is. The Talmud says the greatest things, you know, an elephant can turn over a bus. But even an elephant has its weakness. If you can tap into that, then even a small thing like a mosquito can take down an elephant. Okay, we'll pick up here next week.